Hello, this is Shadow Entity Wizard of Transatlantic Rage, and this episode is about the album The Velvet Worm and the Pistol Shrimp. This album is available on a CDR release and as a free download. You could get the free download at www.myspace.com/transatlanticrage, and you could also receive one of the CDR albums via the MySpace site also. The Velvet Worm and the Pistol Shrimp was written back in the fall of 2005. The Velvet Worm and the Pistol Shrimp album was an album within five albums that I wrote kind of consecutively. The first one was Sub-Underground Nemesis, then The Velvet Worm and the Pistol Shrimp, Turning Point Positive Help is on the Way, The Aftermath, The Smoke Has Cleared, Still Standing, and then String Theory. Those five albums were kind of one main thought, but just in five different albums, where it was just kind of a free flow of thought on my emotions and kind of what I was going through. And I would say they were written all about in a 6 months time period. I wanted to make this album very abstract, surreal, very imaginative, almost to a point where it kind of makes you feel icky and awkward listening to this album. It was like one of the first albums that I experimented in an album format, kind of messing with the whole formulaic format of your typical album. The Velvet Worm and the Pistol Shrimp I wrote in about 10 days. I kind of practiced the kind of like speed writing. I really didn't think about what I was writing. I just wanted to be like try to be in a subconscious flow of writing and really not critique or put much thought into what I was writing. Kind of like a very natural free flow of creativity is what I really wanted to do. I think I accomplished it with this album. The first six songs on this album were written in one day, probably just in a couple hours, even though the songs are only about 30 seconds each. One of the things that I consciously focused on with the first eight or nine songs of this album was the time in between each track. I wanted to have basically no time in between the tracks where it was once a song was done, the next track started, and so on and so forth for about the first eight or nine songs. And as the album went on, I put more time in between each song. So after the last track, it gets to a point where there's almost 2 or 3 minutes of silent space in between each track. So that was kind of like a conscious aspect that I wanted to do, just to kind of mess with the whole formulaic type album structure of your typical rock album or whatever album that you have. Most of them are your 3 or 4 seconds in between each song. It has a nice little steady flow to it. I kind of mess with the whole idea and the whole cliche aspect of what an album flow or order should be. The first 7 songs are under 1 minute. Out of the first 20 tracks, only 5 tracks are over 2.5 minutes long. The last song, The Beginning of the End, is nearly 40 minutes long. And within that track, The Beginning of the End is the title of that track, there are 6 songs on that track, and it's just all one track. But I put 2 or 3 minute gaps of space in between each song. Or one of the reasons why I put the long gaps of blank space on the last track is to counter the beginning part of the album where there was no space in between the songs. Or it's just one song after another with no space. I kind of countered it with the kind of polar opposite of it towards the end of the album. Here's another aspect that I took on this album The first two tracks of this album are two intros. I put two intros in the beginning.
A new stereophonic sound spectacular. The world of stereo is filled with spectacular sound surprises.
Velvet Worm and the Pistol Shrimp have nothing to do with the album, just fascinated by the names and their extraordinary and unique skills in hunting prey. Velvet Worm and the Pistol Shrimp, I came up with the name of the album around the time I was writing the album, but I referred back to a time where I was watching a nature program out in Arizona with my aunt and uncle, and it was about animals or creatures on this earth that hunt their prey in very unique, unorthodox, and kind of extraordinary ways. And I thought the velvet worm and the pistol shrimp were two of the species that really stuck out to me on this program. The velvet worm is a cross between an arthropod and a worm. They have anywhere between 14 and 43 pairs of legs. What they do is, when they catch their prey, is they shoot a quick drawing adhesive at their prey, and this adhesive turns into a cement, just freezes the prey in their tracks, and they stick their mandible into their prey, where they secrete this digestive enzyme into their prey. And then they suck out the tissues of their prey and eat their prey that way, which I think is kind of cool and unique type of way of getting your food and eating it. So, other aspect I like about the velvet worm is that they come in a lot of different colors. There's blue ones, there's orange ones, there's green ones, black ones, and there's white velvet worms. So I think that's pretty unique too. And the pistol shrimp, they're very small, only a half an inch to 2 inches in size. They have one oversized claw. I guess what I understand could blow up to a big bubble. And this bubble inside their claw can produce up to 4,700 degrees Celsius in temperatures. And I guess it creates a loud sound when you snap it. What I understand is they kill their prey that way, or stun their prey by snapping this big gigantic claw they have with all this tension and pressure built up in their claw. And the sound just stuns or kills their prey. So they compare it to 218 decibels in volume that this claw creates when it snaps. So 218 decibels, I'm pretty sure that's almost 75 decibels louder than your typical rock concert or even a jet airplane. That's how loud this snapping sound is that these pistol shrimp make. They could use this claw in a defensive or offensive way too.
Yeah.
The track, drawn to this, Echo Tranquility just sang the words without the music. I guess she had them written down and she just sang whatever melody to these words that just came to her mind at the time she recorded them. I put these lyrics she sang to a guitar riff that I wrote, just plugged them in there without thought, and it actually turned out really nice. And Brownies Eat My Eyes are one of the first nonsensical type spoken word that I did, and I thought they turned out really well.
Bush plays pool with I watch TV at 5 a.m. to watch Jerry Cantrell play b-ball for the Wizards.
Song Rush is my friend Kelly Brown drumming to a Rush song. I was recording him playing the drums the one time at his house, just practicing drum miking technique. That was one of the songs I thought was kind of cool that he was drumming to, and I just used the recording of his drums and put it to the song. I used quite a few samples on this album, not so much because I wanted to sample, just kind of being creative with samples and the meaning behind them, or just using them in kind of like a nonsensical way. I used samples from Johannes Brahms, the cartoon theme song from DuckTales, the movie Scarface, Slayer, Thelonious Monk, Johnny Cash, Charles Mingus, and the vinyl record I used a lot of samples from called Stereo Spectacular, Demonstrations and Sound Effects, 1960s. I thought it had a very surreal tone to the whole record, and plus the whole vinyl sound I thought was really unique. Eat My Eyes, I made a video for, and that video is on the Visual Chaos DVD album that was released on Free Thinkers Union Records.
Brownies eat my eyes, chicken pot pies, I can't believe this is not butter, massage, shake the blues when I sweat, while hooked up to 18 patches of Nicorette.
On this album, I rhyme, I use spoken word, I play the guitar, drums, bass, I even whistle. Echo Tranquility sings and plays the piano on this album also. This is the first album that I manipulated my voice, where I changed my voice either 1, 2, 3, or 4 octaves lower than my normal voice, or 1, 2, 3, or 4 octaves higher than my normal voice. For the song Magically Transport You, I made a video for this song, and it was released on Freethinkers Union Record in Nebraska. And one little interesting fact that I always liked about this song was I used of a live recording of a crowd at a Metallica show. So when you hear the song and you hear the crowd noise in the song, that's actually a crowd from a Metallica concert.
Relentless. Paranoia.
In an instant, stereo can magically transport you.
Have a couple word phrase in the song, and I told myself whatever came to mind first, that's what I was going to use no matter how cool or lame it was. So I was at work one day, and I thought about what phrase I wanted to use for this song, or sequence of words that first came to me was peanut butter sandwiches. So I used peanut butter sandwiches, and I put it into the song. And I also used a recording of Echo Tranquility playing the piano. So that's her playing the piano on the song.
Peanut butter sandwiches.
The reason why I chose Velvet Worm and the Pistol Shrimp as one of my first episodes is because I think this is my favorite album to date over the last 6 years that I've been really focusing on Transatlantic Rage. This has to be my favorite album by far that I've written so far. One of the reasons why it's one of my favorites is that it was kind of an effortless typewriting. I think I truly tapped in to kind of a realm that I haven't experienced or that I haven't heard a lot of other artists tap into. I kind of compare it to listening to the Beastie Boys album, Paul's Boutique. For some reason, I always compared this album, like in a surrealism or abstract way, as Paul's Boutique. They don't sound anything like each other, but it really kind of snaps you into a different realm, which I think is unique, where somehow a lot of albums, in my opinion, don't do that. So I think this album really pulls you in a different dimension, mindset-wise and emotionally. One of the ideas I had for this album, or the idea I have for a lot of albums, is I wanted the listener to feel like you're in a dream realm, and kind of an aspect where it's kind of nonsensical, like a dream, where things really don't make sense. Also, too, the aspects of dreams where anything's possible, where in a dream, you do things in a dream that you normally wouldn't do, or see, or feel, or act upon in real life, but you do it in a dream. And kind of like another aspect is how you combined different aspects of your life or what you're experiencing in life, and when you dream, maybe your subconscious kind of combines those elements of your life in reality and creates a dream where all of them come together, and it makes it really surreal and weird. Like, for example, where during that day you could be riding a horse and went to a baseball game and ate a pizza at a pizza place, and in your dream you dream of riding a horse, carrying a baseball bat, and eating a piece of pizza at a baseball game, you know, something like that. I kind of wanted to take that type of aspect and kind of make things surreal and abstract like a dream, and create music and piece music together where things that you normally wouldn't hear in a song or an album, you would hear on this album. Strictly imagination and letting myself be free of creating something that I truly want without fear of following a trend or what people think. Almost writing an album where I wanted to change people's mindsets and thinking of what an album should be, breaking that mold and that brainwashing aspect of what music is or what an album should be, is that I really wanted to throw a wrench in the listener's thinking and their emotions and just their whole absorption of this album. I just really wanted them to feel like they're experiencing something different that they never experienced before.
You can still get another track. You can still get another track. Oh.
song Mission Control We Have Detachment from Reality, I will never remember making. To this day, I still do not remember or recall making a song. Maybe I had some type of brain fart or a memory was deleted from my brain permanently, which is kind of scary. I don't ever remember writing the song. The track, Where Are You Mingus? I put a sample in this song from a Charles Mingus song, from the song Goodbye Pork Pie Hat. In my opinion, the sample I used is one of the most beautiful segments or sections or moments recorded in jazz. For some reason, it just strikes me as being absolutely beautiful, and it just really brings like an intense rush of emotion every time I hear this part of the song. And
we have an instinctive emotional need to be able to orient ourselves in terms of sound sources. Therefore, stereophonic reproduction offers us the most natural and satisfying way of listening to recorded sound.
Call Me Master, and the track That's Pathetic You Suck. I took a bunch of songs from bands I was in the past, and I kind of manipulated them and pieced them together and altered them. Basically all songs that we played in previous bands that I kind of had recordings of and kind of manipulated and twist and turned and made them into something different.
I'm
This song's basically about how I was in a trailer at work, unloading a trailer, and I got this really intense wave of panic and sheer terror that just overcame me, and it just felt like this big wave of this horrible terror and fright and fear and anger just at such an intense level. It was horrifying. And then as quickly as it came, it quickly went. And the lyrics I wrote for this song kind of sum it up in a way, as best as I could, of the way I felt. It goes, the big picture, I am prey, my anger inside, pass out, tsunami of rage and anger all dissolved.
We'll be right back. Oh, Soon it up.
Yeah!
combined it, Slayer samples, with Johnny Cash. For some reason, I always envisioned both of these artists blending together well. And in my opinion, I thought it turned out really well, even with the song I used, June Carter singing on this song.
Thank you. Thank you.